Hallelujah.
Jesus is so good.
I got to get all my buttons on. How's it looking? Good. Sounding good?
There is a sweet spirit in this place.
Man, praise God. Man.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. Man, that's an awesome praise and worship time. Praise God. Man, that was really, I really felt the Holy Spirit. Amen. I wanted to bring Cindy up because she's such a blessing. And we've been married 33 years. We dated 4 years. Started dating her. Amen. I started dating her when she was 17. And we dated 4 years, got married 33 years, long time ago. She's just 37 now? 38? Yeah. I'm like, but anyway, we're so blessed to be here. And as Melissa said, man, we really got to know them when they came and ministered to the Bible College. And they're the real deal. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. They're the real deal. They're awesome. Amazing. But I wanted to just introduce Cindy and didn't know if she wanted to say a little something. If you want to, you're welcome to.
We're just so happy to be here with you guys. And you guys have awesome, awesome leadership with Randy and Melissa.
Yes.
You are so blessed to be under their leadership.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, give them a big hand. I'll tell you what, they are led by Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. They're just awesome. And you guys have an awesome facility here.
Yeah, really nice.
Not sure what really you had impressed before, but this is awesome. I love the acoustics, too.
Yeah.
And whoever was singing this morning, boy, it was just echoing through the whole place. It was beautiful. But I'm just going to hand this over to Lee and just pray this morning that you have ears to hear what he is ministering this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God. Okay, thank you. Talking about Columbia. Wow. So we go in, we check in the motel, right? It's a motel, it's not a hotel. So it's a motel. We check in the motel, and we walk in the bathroom, and there's no toilet seat. So Cindy's like, wow, that's good. It's a little bit more difficult for women, you know. But anyway. So, and then I go in, we look in the shower, and there's this thing up there, and I learned later it was called the Widowmaker. It had two wires that came down through the shower head thing, and you had to, it was like cracking a combination safe. You had to get that dial just right, water, cold water, hot water thing, to adjust the water so that that you had hot water, period. Some people didn't have hot water, so I guess we're blessed to have hot water. But, man, it was an awesome time, and we had a wonderful time. It was great. And I missed that. I mean, I can't believe it's been 2 years since we graduated. That's hard to believe. But time is flying by. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but time is going by really fast. So we need to make it count while we're here, right? And but I want to tell you, I've got good news for you today. I've got good news. Someone's going to be set free today, what I'm going to share with you. I really believe that. And I believe you're really going to get set free. Someone's going to get a hold of this. I want to just say this before I get started. I'm the happiest I've ever been in my whole life. You know why? Because it's not about me. And I hope that I'm really strong at what I'm going to share, so I hope that no one gets under condemnation here. That's not my intent. But I just want you to hear this. I want you to become a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. James 1:22, it's in there. Look it up. We should be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit today, but I want to encourage you. I want this to be an encouraging time. So I made me some notes, not because I need them, but to keep me focused, because I may go off. And I may go off on a tangent anyway, but anyway, that's okay. We'll be blessed by it. But thank God. I just want to pray before we get started. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be able to share, Lord, what you've done in my life, and what you want to do in all of our lives. And Lord, I haven't arrived. But you've got so much more you want to do in my life. I'm not perfect by any means. But Father, I know that I'm a willing vessel. And you're just looking for availability. You're not looking for ability. And so Father, I just pray that this message will impact someone in this room. Lord, we know that one person can make a difference. The enemy tells us that they can't. But one person can change a community. And so, Father, I just pray that whatever's on our mind right now, we'll just put it to the side. listen to what you have to say to us this morning, that we have ears to hear your word. And Lord, just anoint my mouth, that whatever I share would be from you, and we give you all the honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you don't have that on yet? Oh, you want me to do that? So this is, you want me to stay on that side? I can do that. Okay. Praise God. You told me that too. That's how well I listen sometimes, right? I started teaching a series at our church, Grace Life Church in Greensboro, this past Wednesday night. And it's on prayer. And the message that I taught was, is we are all able ministers. And I want to tell you that you're an able minister. If you've asked Jesus into your life, you've said a prayer to ask Jesus into your life, you're an able minister. And I think we've misunderstood what ministry means. We think it's a fivefold ministry, that you're going to be up here. Some of you will be. But we think that it's the fivefold ministry, the office of the fivefold ministry. But you're called to minister. Each one of us are called to be ministers wherever we go. Amen? That's what God wants. He's called us to be light, Matthew chapter 5. He said if our eye is single, Matthew 6, focused on him, totally focused on him, we'll be full of light, right? You're to be a light. And in a little while, I'm going to share some testimonies with you of some things that's been happening about when I went to hear Todd White and didn't get to hear Todd. I was upset, and I got to hear some guy named Dan Moeller. And I will tell you this, just because you come into a room and someone ministers to you like I am, and you don't get a chill bump or you get excited about maybe right away, it doesn't mean something hasn't happened in the spirit. And I'm going to share that, how I know that for sure, because I've experienced in my own life. But ministry is love. And like I said, I'm going to share probably a dozen different things that people that I've ministered to just recently. I've ministered to hundreds of people since I went to that conference in Weston. I wasn't going to go, and then Melissa and they were going, and then Brian Clark, our pastor, said, hey, I want you to go if you can. So we walk into the back of their walk-in. It's jam-packed, and we get there a little ahead of time, but it's packed. And so we ended up sitting in the back, and we ended up, there was a guy on the back row that waved to us and like this, and I didn't realize at the time it was Craig Rumley. I didn't know Craig. I had heard of him. He said, sit with me. And I don't remember anything that happened much that night because there were people in the back of us that were making a lot of noise. And I was just sitting there, and I'm like, you know, I looked at the music was amazing. When we walked in there to hear them, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'll track back. I remember there was just something really amazing going on. I couldn't tell exactly what it was, but I could feel God's spirit. But I heard Dan talk, but I didn't really hear a lot of what he said. But something happened. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. I want to say this, too, that you're not responsible for increase. So the pressure should be off. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have a chance to lead someone to Jesus. I've led several people to Jesus, many people to Jesus. But you're responsible for sowing a seed. And that seed of love. God wants you to love. You can do that. Well, the fruit of the Spirit, right? What's the first one? Love. And it really comes from that place. And you really have to understand how much God loves you and how much he cares for you. And I'm here to tell you today that he loves you and he thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're awesome. Whether you believe it or not, he thinks you're amazing. And he's got a plan for your life, and it's not going to come to pass automatically unless you hook up with him. Do you know that you can get saved and get stuck and be miserable and live in a form of hell till you get to heaven if you choose to? I was there. Years ago, I said a prayer in 1987. I went to an event. Cindy was going to be auditioning for a contemporary group, gospel group. And we went there. And I remember going to this little small church. And the guy gave an invitation and later became a really good friend of mine. And I sat right there and asked Jesus into my life, according to Romans 10:9-10. I said a prayer. I made him savior of my life. And I want to share my progression with you because it's very important. It didn't have to take as long as it took me. But I said a prayer, got what I wanted from Jesus. And And I had a really bad mouth. I remember trying to stop cursing, and I tried on my own. I couldn't do it. And when I got saved, God took that desire away from me. Have I messed up since then? Yes. But here's what he did. He took the desire away. He took the desire away. You see, if someone tells me that they're a Christian, they're willfully living in sin, I'm going to have to question that a little bit. Because you should take that desire away. It's one thing if you stump your toe as a Christian. See, and you're going to. But man, the enemy wants you to focus on sin. You sorry sinner. You no good sinner. That's from the devil. Man, God sees you as righteous. He created you in his image. Amen? It's a good place for an amen. Amen. So you're not responsible for the increase, but you are responsible to sow seed. I don't care who you are. All of us have at least one testimony, don't we? Amen, we should. So this is kind of my road of transformation. So 1987, I said a prayer, and something happened. God moved in. The Holy Spirit moved in on the inside of me, because when you ask him into your life, he comes in and moves inside. The problem is I didn't make him Lord. I think that's where many Christians are today. I didn't make him Lord. The most miserable place you'll be in your life is saying a prayer to go to heaven and not making him Lord and not renewing your mind. Paul said it in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So I said a prayer. You know why I said a prayer that day? So I could go to heaven. Because they told me, this was in a Methodist church, they told me that if I didn't ask Jesus into my life and I hit a tree on the way home, then I would spend eternity in hell. So I didn't want to do that. So I came and said a prayer so I could get what I want from God. You know, God spoke to me later on about that. And then what I did was I dropped God and I just went on to live my life. And I was miserable because, see, God was living inside me, but I hadn't been transformed. I hadn't renewed my mind. No one told me to renew my mind. Most denominational churches will tell you, man, just come get saved. And then you're going to, I'll tell you, you're going to live in a bad place if you don't renew your mind. I did. So I came and got what I wanted, and God spoke to me a year or so ago and said, you know what happened? Now this is the way he spoke to me. Don't get mad at me when I say this. He said, you know, all you had was a one night stand with Jesus. One night stand. He's Savior and Lord. You can't separate the two. I said a prayer so I could go to heaven. That's all about me. It's not all about you. You weren't created for you. You were created for him and his image, to be like him to the world. So in 1987, that happened. In 1997, I started listening to this country guy on the radio named Andrew Womack. That's before he was on TV. Started listening to him. In 1997, we actually went to Charlotte, and Cindy and I met Andrew. Andrew actually prophesied over us, but he laid hands on us to receive the Holy Spirit that night. And I didn't feel a thing. But something happened. I didn't feel anything. Cindy was already, she was all in. But I was so skeptical about speaking in tongues. It took me probably a month before I spoke in tongues, just because I was just doubted it. It was crazy. But he laid hands on us, and he prophesied over me, and something he prophesied over me hadn't come to pass yet, but I'm believing in it. It's about being a blessing, basically, is what it was. But I know something happened to me, because what happened was, for about three weeks, I would go to church, and I'd cry all service long during church. We'd get in the church building, I'd just cry. The pastor was teaching on the blood covenant. That's a really good message to be teaching if you're brand new, spirit-filled, blood covenant, man. He started preaching, I'd just start crying. And I remember, I wrote in my Bible, the Bible became alive in 1999. I'm telling you, I tried to memorize scripture before I got spirit-filled. If you're not spirit-filled, you can't live what I'm going to be teaching you, what I'm going to be telling you that's been happening in my life without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. it won't make sense. It doesn't, you can't operate out of the flesh with what God's called us to do in the Spirit and through the Spirit. And so anyway, I knew something had happened. I start opening up my Bible, and literally the as a friend of mine said one time, I said the letters on the page were dancing. And I started reading the Word, and Cindy can tell you, I'd go in, she'd go to bed early before midnight, and I'd stay up and read the Word. And I'd be crying and go in the room, she'd say, "What's wrong?" And I'm like, "Nothing." I said, the Bible's so alive. I mean, I can't. And I actually remember praying to God a couple times. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I can't take anymore. I can't take it." It was coming like trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant. It was really like that. It was awesome. And that was in 1999. And man, our life, we got radically changed. We got, man, some things have happened. We've seen people, since then, we've seen people healed. Cindy and I prayed for a lady that got healed of stage 4 lung cancer. We've seen people that have healed. I prayed for a lady that was healed of blindness in her eye. She was going blind in her eye. There's so many stories that we could tell you. Cindy works as a nurse, and she prays for people about every day. And she's seen bunches of healings. And but you know, God is, he's not looking for ability, he's looking for availability. He's looking for a vessel. And you have to see yourself the way that he sees you. So then we go to Bible college, that's where we were at. Met Randy and Melissa, it was awesome, and they were such a blessing. And I knew from the very beginning that they were the real deal. Man, they had love for Christ. Man, I wasn't even on the radar where they are. And I'm still not sure. They're like just on fire too. I mean, it's amazing. But they're awesome, and that's where we met them, and we formed a friendship through that, and I'm so glad I can call them friends. Really, I'm glad of that. So in 2018, we graduated. The same year, that's when Grace Life Church started. Brian Clark came to us, and a bunch of us, there's about 7 or 8 of us at Grace Life Church in Greensboro that started a church, and we were part of the launch team. And that year, he said, "Hey, there's this guy coming to speak. Todd White." And let me tell you how I'd heard of Todd. My brother had sent me something a year before when Todd had witnessed to that group Korn, or something. It was at a rock concert, and I saw that. My brother sent me that a year before, and it planted a seed in me. And what happened was I was like, man, that just blew me out of the water when he's praying for those people coming into that demonic concert. Really is what it was. And he ended up leading people to the Lord, praying for people, man, that really touched me. So then Brian says, "We're one of the churches, and you guys are one of the churches too, that were kind of sponsoring or Todd coming in." So I said, "I want to go hear Todd," and then I hear this guy Dan Muller's coming in. I remember telling her, I was like, "Man, I wanted to hear Todd," and she said, "Dan Muller's really good." I was like, okay. And as I said, so that brings me up to where we are, and I want to make a point. So we went there. I was a little disappointed, didn't hear anything, but something happened that night. And I went home, and I started listening to Dan Muller and Todd White taught, and I listened to it a dozen times. I bet you I listened to every one of them. But it started to make sense. I was saved and stuck from 1987 to 99, saved and stuck. If you're not renewing your mind, you're miserable. If you come up to me and tell me you're miserable, I know why you're miserable. You're not renewing your mind. Whatever you meditate on, you become sensitive to. Some of you are watching Fox News, CNN News, and you need to stop doing it because it's going to destroy you. You cannot walk this walk that God wants us to walk. And so one thing that what really got my attention was what Dan preached on is Matthew 16:24. And he said this, the Bible says, Jesus said, if anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. There's no need to take up your cross and follow him unless you deny yourself. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself. It's not about you. I pray for people. He says, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. You can't take up your cross and follow him unless you're denying yourself, folks. And whoever will save his life and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. You see, there's an old Lee out there. My friends years ago nicknamed me Lieberham. Well, I mean, you know, Abram became Abraham, Sarah became Sarah, Saul became Paul. It's always an increase. Some of you need to get a new name. Man, I'm Abraham to my friends. I was going through a tough time years ago, and I was praying with a group of men, and one guy was having a little trouble. This was years and years ago, and he said, man, you're Abraham. And it stuck with me. And but you are. And you should, I'm not the person I was. I'm more excited today than I was yesterday. When I first got turned on, when I heard the message of denying yourself, I thought at the very beginning, you know what I thought? This is going to be a little fad, and I hope it lasts. But it's probably going to play out. That's not true. It was real. And it gets, you've heard Todd White talk about it, that gets increases, and Dan Muller talk about it increases. It does. I'm seeing it in my own life. I'm more excited today than I was yesterday. I'm ministering to people, and it's awesome. I'm happy. But I got free of myself and others, and I want to explain that. Your biggest challenge is going to be you. You can blame the devil all day long, but you're going to be your biggest challenge. When you look in the mirror, you ought to see Jesus when you look in those eyes. But don't see. You see, God sees you the way he created you to be, not the way you are, the way you look in the mirror, necessarily. And he wants you to see people the way he created them to be. What is getting free of myself is not letting, and free of others is not letting sin against me produce sin in me. Let me say that again. It's not letting sin against you produce sin in you. See, here's the thing. I didn't come here today to get an applause or a pat on the back or anything like that. Jesus, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus loves me, and he thinks I'm amazing, and I believe it 110%, and he loves you the same way. You just have to believe that. And he wants you, and I see you the way God created you to be. That's why I can love you. If, again, I want to emphasize this. If you try to do this in the flesh, you can't do it in the flesh. You can only do it with Holy Spirit. It's by the Spirit it happens, ministering to people, loving people. But we're called to be light, right? You know, we don't have a problem with darkness in the world. We don't. We have a problem with the absence of light. Does darkness control light, or does light control darkness? Do you say, well, let's turn up the darkness or turn down the darkness? No, you turn up your light. We have a light. And honestly, our light should be a welding torch. I really believe, because I know who lives inside me, greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. I believe that I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe when I walk in a room, the atmosphere changes spiritually. I do. And some of you may say, well, that's pretty arrogant. No, but I just know who I know that I am. My righteousness is a filthy rag. But man, he lives inside me. Do you believe that? If you really believe he lives inside you, it'll cause action in your life. And that's what I'm talking about, action. Luke chapter 11, verse 33 says this, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in the secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. So if you got a light, it shouldn't be under a lampstand. It should be on top of a table. That's where it disposes, shines. We're to be a lighthouse to the world. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. That's an interesting verse. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of the lamp gives light. This is talking about being a light to the world. It's dark out there right now, y'all. Dan Muller said this, I'm going to get you to laugh. He said it's like we should look at it like being a mosquito in a nudist colony. It's that way. The harvest is great, folks. It's great. But he's called, the key thing is our eye being single, focused on Him. Do you know if you're full of the Word, man, the enemy, he understand the enemy's trying to get, he's trying to get in, back in, he's out. You've got to see your perspective, where you are. You know we're seated with Him in heavenly places. Do you know your prayers don't have to go up, they actually come down? They do. God lives right here. Andrew Womack said, your prayers don't have to get above your nose because God lives right here in me. He lives in here in me. The Holy Spirit lives in me. Amen. Romans 12:2, we must renew our mind. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1:9 and verse 22 talks about a salvation of the soul. So here's the thing. You can say a prayer to go to heaven, but not renew your mind. It's not going to work. If you're miserable, I can tell you, you're not spending enough time with Jesus. The only one that should be depressed in this world is Satan. You should not be depressed. Let me say this. Through all this COVID stuff and all, I haven't been scared one bit. I'm concerned. What I am concerned is, I'm concerned for people. Because I see people, what this is showing is, be nice about this, what this is showing is real people really are in their walk. It really is. And so, but here's the good news is, if you realize where you are in your walk and you're not walking with Him, you just make a change, right? It really is just a change. It's really up to you. But God's will is not going to automatically come to pass in your life. He has a plan for your life that's amazing, more than what you could ever imagine, because it's supernatural. It really is. And so God has a plan, but it's not going to come to pass automatically. But you know, just like this being transformed. Transformed is this. Man, you're a caterpillar eats, right? The caterpillar eats and eats and eats and eats and eats. And then he becomes this beautiful, beautiful butterfly. When did he get his wings? He's always had them. It was in his DNA. But are there caterpillars that don't make it to the butterfly stage? Of course. Caterpillars, a lot of caterpillars do is they consume, eat, never give anything away. When they become a butterfly, they actually produce life. You know, God's created you. He sees you as that butterfly that He created you to be. Man, I love butterflies now. Can you believe that? I mean, I really do, because when you see one, I see transformation. And God's called you to be transformed. If you're a Christian and you're not being transformed in His image, you need to get in the Word and let Him speak to you. See, I can come here today and give you inspiration and all that, and it can just be another message, and I hope it's not. But God wants transformation in your life. He wants you to get revelation. God spoke to me a couple of months ago, and He said, Lee, here's what revelation is. Revelation is not just when you get an aha moment, or you get a chill bump, or goosebump, or you cry. It's when you become the Word. It's when you become the Word of God. Become the Word. If you tell me, oh, and I used to do it years ago, I'd call someone and say, I'd phone a friend and say, man, I got this revelation of this. Man, it's awesome, isn't it? Yeah, it makes sense. But I didn't become it. It's not revelation till you become it. What good is it if you don't? See, God hasn't called you. A lot of you guys know more scripture than I do. You know the Word better than I do and all. But God's called us to be a doer of the Word. And a lot of us are just hoarding what we have. A lot of us are just hoarding the Word, what we've got. What more do you need? When I got ready to start Charis Bible College, my friend Tom and Cindy Boy, it was Tom and Cindy, ran Charis in Atlanta. He told me, he said, you got everything you need to witness. And he was right. I understood what he meant. But we did learn a lot at Charis, a lot of foundational stuff. But even going through, I didn't get the practical part, the actual application part. And that's probably because I'm just missed it. But James 1:22 says this, if you're a hearer of the Word, not a doer of the Word, you're deceiving you. And I want to read that. It says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and the straightest forgotteth the manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in, some of them translations are, in all that he does. And I'll tell you, I'm blessed. See, you got to seek him first in his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. See, we've come to say a prayer. The problem is we've come to say a prayer, and okay, now God, he's a genie in a bottle. Now I want this, 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 and this. And a lot of churches are teaching that you come to him and he'll fill all your barns and all this stuff, and it's about me getting. Do you know that I don't even pray for me anymore? You know, the only thing I pray is when I get up in the morning is this: Lord, help me to see people the way you see them. Help me to love them the way you love them. Help me not to miss an opportunity. Lord, I know you've given me a green light. I don't have to be led. Some of you are waiting to be led. He's giving you a green light. He said, go. Do I speak to everybody out in public? No, I walk by a lot of people because I'm lazy. But I speak to a lot of people. Sometimes one or two or three or four or five or six or seven a day. People that I've never met before. And I'm going to share that with you in just a minute. But you know what? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, another verse that I really like. And it says, and they overcame how? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. And this is the last part. I hear pastors don't preach it. And I think I know why, but I won't say why. And they love not their life, even unto death. It's not about you. When you get free of you, you'll be free of other people. What I mean by that is this. If you, for instance, if you said you hated me and all that, I still love you. God has only called me to love you and to see you the way he created you to be, not the way you are. If I cry, it'll be because I cry for you. It's sure not going to be because you hurt my feelings. And that's not a disrespect thing. That's not a disrespect thing. It's just that I can't minister from a place if I'm offended by what you say to me. God spoke to me a while back. I was talking to Pastor Brian. I said, nothing surprises me anymore, Pastor Brian. The whole thing is a moving target with COVID and all that. And God checked me on that night. He said, you're getting calloused, and I don't want you to get callous. He said, I want you to be sensitive. If you get calluses on your hands, you get used to doing something, becomes all hat. He told me, he said, I want you to be sensitive. I don't want you to get callous and go, well, nothing's going to surprise me. But you know, church should be full of testimonies. You know what ought to happen on Sundays? Is that they come to you and the people line up and they're like 50 people. And they're like, hey, I've got a testimony that I need to share with you. I want to share with you what God did through me to someone else. Now, I'm not talking about, please hear me what I'm getting ready to say here. God didn't give you all the faith that he gave you just so that you can get through the month and pay your bills at the end of the month. A lot of people are using all their faith just so they can survive. The Bible is not a survival kit. You don't say a prayer and hang on until you get to heaven. God has a purpose for your life. But it's not about you. You've got to get over yourself. And how do you do that? Understand how much God loves you, that he thinks you're amazing. And realize that and start from there. Work from there. It's amazing. So this church should be full. They should be lined up. Your whole service ought to be just testimonies. People say, oh, I got to tell you, I witnessed this guy. I was talking out there, prayed for him. We saw healing here. That's what's going to change this community. I want to tell you, when I go out to minister to people, I do not have a script. I don't have an agenda. I don't have a quota. I'm not even trying to get them to Grace Life Church in Greensboro. You should not have an agenda except to love people unconditionally with no strings attached. Do I want them to come to our church? You better believe it. And I have had opportunity to invite some, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is to be a light. When I get around you, I want you to be better than you were before I got there. I want you to be better off. I want you to be better off. I want you to know that I've been with Jesus. And I'm very bold about it. People know that I've been with him, man. And you know how you tell if somebody's religious? You know how you tell? I can tell in about 2 minutes. Because after about 2 minutes talking to someone that's religious, I'm wore out. I'm exhausted. I ran to a guy the other day that was a Christian on fire for Jesus, and he and I stood for probably an hour and talked, and we could have talked all day. See, somebody that has a relationship with Jesus, a guy that's religious, he's got about 2 minutes in him. He's got a couple of scriptures, and then he'll back off, and then he gets mad. I've seen that. But I got to tell you all the hundreds of people I've ministered to, and I've got so many stories, it'd take me all afternoon to tell you, and I'm not going to do that. I just got a few. But I've never had anybody turn me down. I did have a lady in emergency room, went down to the emergency room one time because I wanted to minister. I wanted to minister to some people in the emergency room. What a great place. I walked down there and started talking to the lady. She says, get away from me. And I started walking away. She says, come back over here. I started talking to her. You see, I'm having fun. Now, I got to tell you, pray for Cindy, because this man, I'm like this all the time. And in fact, I have to back off some. I'll be honest with you, I really do. You may say you can't live that way, and I know there are people out there saying, well, you got a great personality, you like that. I didn't like people at one time. I wasn't very nice at all. But God changed me. I want to tell you, he changed me, and here's how he changed me. I got free of myself, so now the conduit's clear. There's nothing jamming it up, and he just flows through me. If he can get it, it to you. Amen. So I want to share a couple of testimonies with you. Just a couple of things here. I have to write them down because I meet so many people. But yesterday I met a guy, Brandon, at the gym. I work out at the gym. I'm so glad to be back at the gym. Thank God. But anyway, I got to meet this guy, Brandon, had a cross around his neck. If you're wearing a cross, by the way, and if I see you out in public, I'm going to ask you what that means to you. So what I told him, I said, hey man, what does that cross mean to you? I'm trying to give you examples of how I minister to people. I've had people say, it's just jewelry. And I'm like, well, let me tell you what it means to me. And then I end up ministering to them. But I got to minister to this guy, a young guy in the area, and I just got to encourage him. He's getting ready to get married. And I just told him, I said, I want to tell you, keep Jesus first in life. And I talked to him. He said he was a Christian and all. So I was able to minister to him, pray with him in the gym. Also met a, this is yesterday, met a guy in the gym, a criminal justice teacher out of Wake Tech, and got to talk to him too, just minister to him. And what I do with a lot of people is once I start talking to them, I don't just hit them real hard. Now some people what I'll do is just say, I just want to tell you Jesus loves you. But if I'm just nice and just come up to somebody and say, hey, how are you doing, you doing okay? Listen, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can't fake it. But you know, and you say, well, how do you do that? It's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. And I talked to this guy anyway. I got to pray over him. And I told him, I said, I just want you to know this. And he was a black gentleman. I said, I just want you to know this. I value your life. I want you to know that. And sometimes I'll tell him, I love you, brother. I said, I love you. I said, but I value you. I treasure you. I honor you. I said, Jesus loves you and he thinks you're amazing. He's got a plan for your life. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. He wants just a relationship with you, but I want you to know that. And then I actually go over to the smoothie shop, and there was a guy behind me, and I'm like, man, I'm just going to bless him, you know. See, I'm just open, man. I just bless people. The guy got up there, and I said, man, can I buy your smoothie? And I did. He said, no, you don't have to do that. And I just got to minister to him. I said, man, he said, why do you do that? And I said, because, man, Jesus loves you. And I want you to know that. And sometimes I'll tell people, I just want you to know that I got free of myself a couple years, and it's not about me anymore. It's about you. It's about Jesus, number one, but it's about other people. And I say, God's only called me to, what he's called me to do is love you. And I said, I'm having fun, and I have an awesome time. And I ministered to that guy. Listen to this. This is really exciting. Pray for a young guy at a car wash. I was at a car wash, and this young man comes up, wiping off my truck, and he just started talking to me. He said, you know, and I started talking to him, and he said, he's like 18, 19 years old, 21, somewhere in there. He said, well, I'm dating a girl, but she got pregnant, and I tried to get in the Army, but I took a test, and they said, I'm colorblind. And I said, come over here. I said, I want to pray for you. I said, I'm going to lay hands on you. I said, God loves you. Jesus loves you, and I want you to know that. He has a plan for your life. I said, that baby y'all are going to have is going to be an awesome baby. And I said, I just ministered to him. And I said, I'm going to pray over you, and you're going to go back and take that test, and you're going to pass it. So I laid hands on him. About 3 months later, he runs out from the building parking lot, and he said, guess what? He said, I passed the test. Amen. Amen. My man, we moved into a new neighborhood, and they're building houses beside us. And there was a yard man over there one day, and he was working in there, and I saw him. They were sweaty, and I took bottles of water over there to them. They're not even in my yard. And I said, here, I want you to have these bottles of water. I said, I just want to bless you with this. And we started talking. I started ministering to him. And he told me he wanted to start his own business down the road. I said, man, can I just pray over you? And I could just bless you and pray over your business and everything. And he told me, he said, you know what? He said, we need more people like you. He said, you know what happened? He said, this morning I was praying, my wife and I, that God would put somebody in my path. That he would give us a word, and here you are. And I was able to pray with him about his business, and it was just really awesome. Another instance where I was at a house, I'm actually a home inspector, and I met this lady, we'll use the name Sonia for right now, has a Muslim dad and a Christian mother. So I go to this house, and there's a realtor outside waiting till I get done, and she's drinking in the house. And the whole time I'm in there, I'm just saying, you know, how you doing, talking to her, finding out some stuff about her, not just jumping right in, find out some stuff about her. And she's talking to me, but cursing, you know, not at me, but just that's her language. I'm like, she kept apologizing. She said, I'm sorry, I'm saying, I said, it's all good, it's okay, don't worry. And so anyway, long story short on that was, she was in alcoholism, drugs, she was had an abortion at 17 years of age. And she started just telling me all this stuff, and she said, I don't know why I'm telling you. Why do y'all think she was telling me? Amen. And so she's cursing that whole time, ended up praying for her. Man, she's crying when I get through praying with her, and I just spoke over her. I said, you're going to have a great life. I said, you're going to have a testimony that God's going to be able to use. You're going to give him all the glory for what he does in your life. You're going to overcome this. She had actually got in jail by hitting her father. So that was interesting. So I got to pray for her, minister to her. I got to pray for a guy, and I saw a family sitting in a restaurant, and he's wearing a Desert Storm hat. And I go over there, and I'm like, man, thank you for your service. I appreciate you so much, your service and everything. And I said, is this your family? And he said, yeah. I said, you got a beautiful family. And I just said, man, can I just speak a blessing over you? Especially with COVID now, can I pray health over you right now? Can I just pray that you know, a protection hedge over you? This is so much fun. So I pray for this guy, his family. Man, they were holding hands. We're holding hands. A table of kids and everything. And she gets up and I say, amen. She said, you're an angel. I said, no. I said, I just love Jesus. I'm not an angel. Because I don't want people to think. I've had people ask me, are you a pastor? No. I don't want them to think it's, okay, that's his calling. Because I know there's excuses out there. There's someone in here that says, I hear what you're saying, but's a devil. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'll tell you just a couple more and I'll end. And then we were at a restaurant last week, Cindy and I were, and we were talking to this lady. You know, they just opened up, so some of the waitresses are struggling because they're not making the money. And she was telling us, she was doing a great job for us. And she said she had a family the night before that were just nasty. Big family, had a $70 bill. And she said they didn't even leave a tip. And so we got ready to leave. We tipped her real good, but called her over to me. I said, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you so much. And I said, I want to give you that tip that they didn't give you. And I raised it up a little bit too, you know. But I told her, I said, I want to bless you with this. And I said, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. And she said, she hugged me and everything. But see, that's ministry. That's ministry. And there's so many more things that I can tell you. Last one, met a lady at Biscuitville. She's cleaning the tables. And God gave me a word. Man, this is awesome. It's so powerful. He said, Lee, she's a single mother, and she has trouble with her son, young son. And she's cleaning tables. And I said, come over here just a minute. And I said, ma'am, are you single, and do you have a son? And she said, yeah. And I said, you're having trouble with him, aren't you? She said, yeah, I am. She sits down in the booth with me. And, man, I just ministered to her, just said, Jesus loves you so much. Do you know, to this day, I haven't had anybody come up to me and say, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you, and he thinks you're amazing, you're awesome. Do you think that makes a difference when you tell someone that, when you just love on people? We've actually had people come up to, we had a lady come up to our table the other week and just come up and just stand there looking at us. And I'm like, well, I know why you're here. That's what I told her. I said, I know why you're here. God will bring people to your door. He's brought people to my door before. He's just looking for someone that's available. Not ability. I'm telling you, I don't feel qualified. I feel way over my head. But here's the thing. It's not me. It's him in me. It's greater. It's he that lives in me. God lives inside me. I'm an ambassador for him. Everywhere I go, I deposit Jesus. People see him everywhere I go. So I want to close with this. Do we have any farmers in here? Farmers? Okay. So, you know, when wheat is planted, it's planted in the cooler months, it comes up. How do you know when wheat is ready to harvest? You got it. He got it right. There's a head on the wheat that forms, and when it gets ready to harvest, it bows. Puts his head down. Folks, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. The harvest, the wheat is ready. People are bowing their head. People are depressed now, discouraged, and all that. And they're ready to be harvested. People are ready to receive this message that we have. Have I said anything that's difficult? But you see, you understand that I love myself the way God wants me to love myself, not the way that the world's taught us to love ourselves. You don't love yourself. When I say you need to love yourself, it's not the way Adam taught us to love ourselves. It's the way God taught us to love ourselves. You got to see yourself the way God sees you and the way he loves you, and he thinks you're amazing. And you can't do it in your own flesh. I'm telling you, if you try to do it in the flesh, he'll kill you. I tried to. I'm telling you everything from experience. The reason I wanted to show you from salvation in 87 to where I am today. Have I arrived? No. Am I better than anybody else? No. Better off than a lot of people? Yes. I am better off. Because, man, I've got to give this away. How do you not give away what he did in your life, what he's done in your life? How do you not share it? All through Karis Bible College, I would share that with our class. I'm like, how do you not give this away? You've got to give this away. That song that William McDowell did, I Give Myself Away, best song ever. That's my theme song. That's the greatest song, one of the greatest songs. I Give Myself Away. It's not about you. But you can do it. You just have to get free of you. Get free of other people. You owe me nothing. I get up, I'm free. You owe me nothing. Isn't that a great place to be? Can you imagine being there? Am I perfect? No, ask Cindy. But I'm saying this, but I get up every day, nobody owes me anything. And I actually tell people that when I minister to them, you owe me nothing, brother. Amen. I'm just here to love you. Man. Whew. And that was just, what, a dozen maybe? And I could tell you hundreds. But I have to write them down because I forget them. It's just being a light. It's called lifestyle Christianity. Lifestyle evangelism. It's not, you don't take the Bible and try to beat the hell out of somebody with the Bible. That's what a lot of people try to do. I'm using that. I'm quoting Brian. He used that the other week, so I blame Brian for that. He was trying to make a point. A lot of people try to, you know, you're this and this. It's the goodness of God that's going to lead people to repentance. The goodness of God. So, I don't know where to end this. However, somebody's got this, I believe. You want to be happy? Get free of you. And you've got to renew your mind and read the Word. See, God speaks to me through the Spirit, but he speaks to me through the Word. And what he does is, by the way, and I think he really loves my Ford truck too, because I believe he's a Ford guy. God, man, shows up in my truck every morning. And I have a notepad on the side where I'm writing stuff. And I'm like, man, you know this is dangerous, Lord. I'm writing now. But he speaks to me. But here's how he speaks to me, through what I've read. And he brings it back and actually speaks it through my mouth while I'm going down the road. I'm talking to myself. And I hear stuff coming out. And I'm like, whoa. But that's how he'll speak to you in your own voice. He's not going to speak to you necessarily the way he speaks to me. But I'm saying he uses my voice. I'm in a truck, hear something, start talking about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah. So. So amen. That's good. Man, that's I just want you to get this. I don't want this to be another message. I just want you to get this. I really do. I want this to, man, I'd love to just come back down the road and someone in this church is, I tell you, you're talking about this church being on fire? Man, people, I have not been turned down. People have not been ugly to me at all. Not one time. This fear of man is a snare.
Yes.
And you've got to understand, it's of the devil. Fear comes from him. I mean, he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. Amen. Libraham. I'm Libraham. Do whatever you got to do. I know there's an old Lee out there. He tries to get, Joyce Meyer said this, the way you dilute what's happened in your mind and her toxic childhood that she had. She said, I just dilute it with the Word of God. And what you do is like chlorine in water. You can take a little pint of chlorine and put in a hundreds and hundred gallon well and it'll purify it just like that. That's what the Word of God does. You just dilute whatever's happened in your life. Amen? Amen. I don't know how to end it, but I'm done. Amen. Awesome.